Welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bourke from Quito, and today's guest is Doug Bibby, President of the National Multifamily Housing Council. Doug, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So before we get started, why don't you give us a brief overview of the work that the council does?
Sure. We are a national trade association that represents multifamily housing. Our members are developers, owners, managers, financiers, and service providers within the industry. We have about 1,300 member companies. The segment is close to a $2 trillion segment of the economy, with millions of jobs, obviously, and lots of career opportunities that we can talk about as we go forward here. But we represent the industry as advocates, providing also research and a broad range of communication services across to the membership.
NMHC is part of a collaboration of 29 real estate industry organizations, including NAREIT, that are working to highlight the diversity of career paths within the sector. Now, why did you feel this was something you needed to draw attention to at this time?
Well, that's a great question. I think as I've experienced my own industry, but also talked to my peers in other sectors of real estate, I come up with the same observations, and that is that most people just happen into real estate or fall into real estate. They didn't study to be in it. If you'd asked me if I wanted to be in the apartment business when I was coming out of grad school, I would have laughed you out of any place we were in. But it's an amazing industry to work in, and such a diversity of career choices. And so we thought, well, how do we communicate that? This group of 29 real estate CEOs gets together once a year in the early summer, and we were talking about challenges and best practices, and we were talking about the challenge of attracting talent to real estate and the challenges that we all have. And we left with the question in front of all of us is, how do we work together? And I was walking back to my office, and I had one of these aha moments where I passed a building, and I said, okay, well, somebody had to have an idea to put that building up. There was an architect involved. They had to finance it. They had to finance the construction of it. They had to probably get equity financing for it as well. There was an appraiser involved. There was an interior designer involved. And then, there's someone managing the building. There's a broker been involved in changing hands. All of a sudden, I was adding up these career paths, and it was like 15, 16, 17 career paths. And I said, whoa, this is the built environment is our story. And so I happened to be up at an auto dealer and ran into Mike Bellaman, who is the CEO of the Associated Builders and Contractors. And he helped me flesh out the idea, and then he came back to the group with a prototype website for such an exercise, which I thought was just a great idea. And so I'll talk about that in a second, but it's no secret that the job market is really, really tight right now. And so commercial real estate is looking to fill literally millions of jobs. And so this effort really was intended to be an all-inclusive resource for students, for educators, for career changers, and other stakeholders to explore the panoply of opportunities in the field of real estate. But I'll say one last thing is this was not meant to showcase any particular trade association. This is about the career opportunities that each of us really presents within our own sectors and across the sectors.
And talking about the website, careersbuildingcommunities.org, what are some of the resources that people can find when they go visit that site?
Sure. When we were first considering the project and how best to design it, we wanted to make sure it was appealing and useful to the group we're most focused on engaging with, and that's young people in high school and college who are considering what careers and job opportunities are best suited for them. And we engaged a web design firm, Code of Eight, here in Washington, and also a expert in dealing with both students and educators, and Dr. Debbie Phillips out of the Quadrillion. And they helped us design a website that allows visitors to navigate through the scores of career paths across all sectors of real estate by taking an interactive, almost video game-esque map that allows them to discover career opportunities they may not have thought of before. Dr. Phillips took this prototype into high schools and colleges, and we perfected it there. And that helped us design an important element of it, which was a 90-second quiz anyone who navigates this can take, and it will run relatable questions by young people and lead them to potential career paths based on their own personalized answers. So we got the website up. We raised money from all of the trade associations, and then we have now are in the phase of pushing it out. And let me just give you a couple minutes on that because it's important. Obviously, we're trying to saturate social media with the wide array of testimonials and career awareness messages, and more students are taking the interactive quiz and exploring all different aspects of real estate. So beginning with middle school, believe it or not, middle school and high school students, CBC is partnering with school counselors all across the country. We're going to be sponsoring workshops and events at their annual conference, the Conference for the School Counselors, this summer in Boston. There are over 500,000 open positions for skills in construction and trade-related jobs. And so we're partnering with Skills USA to promote career awareness in more than 20,000 classrooms. These classes are filled with students in construction, welding, HVAC, carpentry, and electrical wiring. And CBC also has an intensive focus on STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and math students, as they apply their critical thinking skills to careers in real estate. Over 50,000 of the nation's honor students will be attending conferences this spring, and will hear from us on how the real estate industry offers opportunities, including internships, co-op employment opportunities, scholarships, networking events, and full-time employment. We also have volunteers from CBC organizations attending the American Real Estate Society Conference, where over 200 real estate professors from leading colleges and universities will hear about careers on our industry. And then finally, CBC is promoting careers in real estate to our military veterans. And these men and women, as you know, have incredible leadership skills and experiences from their military training, which transfer directly into the industry. Many of our organizations offer employment opportunities that are complementary to their existing skill sets. Our industry offers an incredible career path in development, operations, and maintenance for military veterans. So that's how we're pushing it out, Sarah, and okay. I'm happy to talk about anything else.
Okay. Well, turning to your role as head of the NMHC, you've identified housing affordability as a key issue for 2019, and I'm just wondering how the industry is trying to tackle that problem.
Yes, I mean, it is the biggest challenge that we face. It is a real problem facing communities across the nation, and this crisis has been driven by the fact that the middle class really hasn't had a pay raise in decades. You couple that with a lack of building, or I should say underbuilding, starter housing, whether it's single-family houses for young couples or starter housing for renters. And what's behind that is the ever-increasing regulations that make it more expensive and more difficult to create housing. And that's put us in the fix that we're in today. For example, in a study on the cost of regulations that NMHC conducted in partnership with the home builders, we found that on average 32% of multifamily development costs are attributable to regulatory burdens. What's more, in a quarter of those cases, that number could be as high as almost 43%. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is a growing number of advocacy groups and progressive lawmakers in municipalities and states and even at the federal level turning to antiquated, failed policies like rent control. Just last week, the Oregon House passed legislation signed by the governor that would cap rents. And while we applaud lawmakers for looking at the issue, we're very concerned by the direction that many are taking. Oregon already has a housing shortage and is more stressed out than ever by this latest action to enact rent caps. So I'm fearful that this will worsen the imbalance between supply and demand in the state of Oregon. While the intent of rent control laws is to assist low-income populations, numerous studies have shown that rent control fails to make a dent in the affordability crisis. In fact, it only benefits renters living in rent-controlled properties. So let me just add here that instead of turning to failed policy approaches like rent control, we need a holistic solution that includes policies that encourage more housing supply. We have to build more housing, encourages public-private partnerships to tackle many of the existing barriers, and increases direct assistance to renters. These are the kind of programs that are needed to drive down the cost of housing, not some exogenous factor like rent control. But I just want to say one more time that, make no mistake, despite efforts to date by local, state, and federal agencies, along with the private sector, the housing affordability crisis is real and people are suffering. And hopefully lawmakers can put aside their differences and come together to tackle the cost of housing by implementing, as I mentioned, holistic policies that will spur the development of a wider range of housing and bring housing costs down. And obviously we're ready to work with those policymakers at all levels.
Okay. And then finally, I just wanted to ask you about the role that you see REITs playing across the multifamily housing platform.
Well, REITs have been invaluable to our sector. And I'll speak more to the public REITs because I deal with more with them. But, you know, the two areas where I think it's been most important to us is really in the transparency that REITs provide in terms of best practices and innovation as well. Their ability to tap the public markets gives them more latitude to experiment, and they've been the real leaders in forging innovation in our sector. The other thing that I think is really, really key is it doesn't, you know, you don't have to be wealthy to invest in real estate in this country, and the public REITs have provided an opportunity for retail investors to invest in real estate. And I think it's been incredibly important to both our industry and to frankly, to people's net worth, because real estate is a phenomenal place to put your money.
Okay, Doug, thank you so much for your time today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
And to our listeners, be sure to visit REIT.com for previous episodes of the REIT Report.